You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson and the returning Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. What's happening, Corey?
Ain't nothing much. Feeling good this morning. I was almost late getting upstairs, though.
I noticed that.
I was almost late getting upstairs. Maria Marino was in the way. I was on the fourth floor, and Maria Marino was lollygagging down there after she did the NBA stuff this morning. She's right down there lollygagging. Yeah. I'm trying to put my stuff up so I can get prepared to come in here and make a couple of dollars to feed my kids. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Your face together?
I was trying to do everything, Matt. My son being, you know, a senior in high school next year, I need everything I can get. And Marino was down there, I guess, because it's Valentine's Day. You know, and I wish her happy Valentine's Day.
Right.
She's down there, and she was kind of like in my way.
I don't appreciate this.
Apparently, Maria Marino is still here.
She's still out again.
Say it to my face, Parson.
How you doing, Miss Marino? Happy birthday.
I've been better, you know?
Oh.
I don't like getting dissed on the air.
Oh, I wasn't dissing you.
Here I was thinking it was Valentine's Day. We're all love and roses and hearts.
It is love and roses
and
hearts.
Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't know you
were
still here.
Make it up to me next time.
I will.
Have a good show.
Thank you,
Miss
Marino.
I'm out. No more lollygagging.
Yes.
Well, Fantasy Exec did go all Billy Hayes on Maria Marino.
What's going on, Matt? Welcome back.
Ah, thank you. It's good to be back. Baseball is ever closer. Had a little draft last night, which we'll discuss later on today.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, good
labor
things.
Draft. Labor draft, first expert draft. You heard about it on Roto Expert before Corey left yesterday. And we'll talk about it a lot today. I'm
going
to do that.
Whoa. What's going on, Greg?
Oh, yeah.
I noticed you just said before Corey left yesterday.
Right.
What are you? Why would, first of all, what if I didn't want anybody to know that I left?
You said I'm out. Goodbye. And walked off.
I had something I had to do. I had to get ready for golf. I did a great job with golf yesterday.
It was a fantastic show.
Thank you. Is it streaming yet?
I don't think so.
All right, but when it starts streaming today, make sure y'all go check that out. Get ready for the Genesis Open. And then also you have Daily Roto golf tools on free preview this
week. Yeah, I saw that.
DailyRoto.com/Big Cat. Big Cat is Tiger Woods' nickname. Tiger Woods is in this Genesis Open.
How about that?
It's at the Riviera in Pacific Palisades, California.
That's a tongue twister.
That's a very nice area.
You've been out there, huh, Matt?
Yes, I have.
Nice.
I had to deliver a script to Chris Rock one night.
Oh, okay.
Palisades.
Did he accept the script?
I scared the hell out of him. I was supposed to throw it over the fence, and he was getting out of the car.
Yeah.
And he walked in, and I kind of like knocked on. I didn't want to just throw it on him.
Yeah.
And he was taken aback a bit.
Whoa.
He's like, who's this guy?
Did he do that movie?
Yeah, that was Grown Ups.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I worked on that.
Did
pre-production in the producer's office. And they went out to Boston or something.
Do you have any dirt from Grown Ups?
No, I don't have any dirt. If I did, I wouldn't say it anyway.
Well, maybe off there.
Chris Rock got a new
stand-up.
New stand-up. Start streaming today, as a matter of fact.
Yes,
I got the email this morning.
Yes, it does. All right, when we come back, a lot to get through. We're going to start with Shohei Ohtani, the Angels, and how we react. Stick around. It's FST on FNTSY.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. We'll have a guest today on this Valentine's Day. Coming up in hour number two, Michelle Figo, DKMS, will stop by, talk about the Olympics with us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that'll be cool.
So now she's from DKMS?
Yes.
Where's she going to sit?
Right next to me.
Oh, you going to put her right there?
Yes.
Have I ever met her before?
I assume so, yes.
When did I meet her?
I don't know. She's been around a lot.
I know. What does she look like?
You'll see her in an hour.
We're going to swab your cheeks on air.
Really?
Oh, that'd be cool.
I'm down with that.
I don't know if you bring a kit, but maybe.
I'm about to say, did you swab my cheeks? I don't want no babies popping up like last year's son. You'd be like, what? You know, I know I'm not getting my cheeks swabbed. Mm-mm, forget that. Yes, exactly. You're not going to Maury Povich me on this joint. Not going to happen, Greggy.
Anyway, go to DKMS and get your cheeks swabbed. We're trying to save lives and not do what he's doing.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
You ever heard of the Tuskegee Airmen?
Yes,
the
I have.
Angels. The Angels manager, Mike Socha, and Billy Eppler, their general manager, they both announced, they had alluded to in the past and finally announced yesterday, they're going with a six-man rotation this year.
Who's the sixth dude?
The sixth dude, I believe, is J.C. Ramirez.
Okay.
Okay. And they're going with a six-man rotation this year because not only do they have Shohei Ohtani, who's coming over and used to pitching in a six-man rotation once a week, basically pitching, but they have a lot of guys that have a lot of injuries in their history, from Garrett Richards to Andrew Heaney to Tyler Skaggs. These guys are always hurt.
Oh, that pitching staff is terrible.
No, I don't agree. Shoemaker, he's been more healthy than the rest of them, but like he's got some injury issues also. And the J.C. Ramirez is kind of like not great. So you have those six dudes. And the Angels, like I said, for all intents and purposes, are planning to go with the six-man rotation. Now, Corey, like we value starting pitchers that pitch twice, obviously, right?
Yeah,
like in a week, if you have a two-star pitcher, like that's awesome.
And that's because we talk about that.
You have a daily, transaction league. Like it's great when you can have the two-star pitchers and pick up pitchers off the waiver wire and stream exactly. But when it comes to the Angels, you're not going to have that unless they have seven games because they're going with a six-man rotation. So I have to ask, Matt, how does a six-man rotation affect the fantasy value of these Angels pitchers?
I mean, the only guy that's going at a high price out of this group is Ohtani. And we kind of know going in, Ohtani's going to be limited. I know some people are out there espousing 180 innings. I think that's insane. That's never going to happen. 160 to me is the high end. I'm going to lean more towards that 140, cap it out at 150. So I like Richards. I got Richards on a lot of teams. I think this helps him. I don't think it's going to be a six-man all season. One, I don't think all these arms are going to last. You're going to get injuries. And at some point, maybe it's more towards after the All-Star break, where they can reschedule the rotation and, you know, maybe give somebody a rest 1 week or something like that. But I'm gonna bet against the six-man lasting all year.
Let me ask you guys this. Do we have an example from recent years of a team going with a six-man rotation, and we can look back at that revisionist history and see how that played out for that six-man rotation? Do we have anybody like that?
So teams have gone to six-man rotations, not for the extended period of time that the Angels were planning on doing it.
Yeah, the Mets have tried implementing it in the past, and
you know what's funny? So you have teams that have done the six-man rotation.
Sound funny?
And then you have I sound funny?
Yeah.
Oh, that's because my mic wasn't on.
I would say it feels like I'm hearing your voice.
I pressed the wrong button
in the studio and not on the microphone.
Yes, that was a bad job I made. So, interestingly enough, the Rockies a couple of years ago with a 4-man rotation. That didn't work.
And then you pitch in Colorado.
The 4-man rotation was a disaster for the Rockies.
Yeah.
And then everyone was fired immediately.
Yeah, that was, I mean, what the Rockies are looking to do even now is get like 5 innings and go heavy bullpen. That's why they spent like $50 million on these bullpen arms. And which might be the way to go. So, I mean, besides John Gray, you need like 5 John Grays in that rotation. You need power pitching and stuff.
Right, so that's what the Rockies have done. Six-man rotation, you've seen teams do it for a little while, a month, usually when they're out. You don't want to answer that. It's spam.
I think it's spam.
I told you to download the app.
Yeah.
So ultimately...
I don't know why they keep calling me that.
It's spam, dude. They call everybody. So ultimately, you don't have the extended time. That's why Matt's saying he doesn't expect the six-man rotation to last for the Angels. But are you just going to stare at it?
No, because it might be Maury Povich.
Corey.
Greggy, I'm sorry, Mr. Sussman. What do you want from me? I'm well-rested.
Too well rested.
Yeah.
So my question is, what if it does work for the Angels, right? Like, what if their six-man rotation does cause less injuries? What if it does cause more effectiveness? Are we going to see all these other teams now start to use a six-man rotation?
But how successful are they going to be with it? Are they successful enough to where they are like the talk of the MLB and they're a playoff team? Are they competing for a playoff spot down the stretch? Then I can see maybe next year, maybe later on in the second half of the season, you see a little more people try it because, you know, elite leagues are copycat leagues. But, you know, the six-man rotation is something that we've kind of seen not too many teams go to. So I think if it does become a thing, I don't think it becomes a thing to where we have to worry about it this fantasy season.
My problem here is I think it's hard enough with a fifth starter trying to get good innings out of that guy. Now you're asking a sixth starter to do that. I totally get why they're doing it, and especially adding Ohtani and, you know, the injury concern with him. That's been downplayed. But Garrett Richards has thrown, what, 50, 60 innings in the last couple of years? So I'm totally on board with them trying it. Yeah.
Can't stay healthy, huh?
That's been the problem. The talent is all there. But I don't see it, especially in the second half when you need to start winning these games. If Garrett Richards is healthy, you're gonna need to get him out there twice a week if need be. That's just the way I see it.
I think to Corey's point, in that they're gonna try to see if this works, if they're gonna fight for the playoffs, they're gonna have some success, if they're gonna stay healthy. I think that's the goal, right? It's obviously the goal. They have a plan in mind, and ultimately you try to make the playoffs, you try to stay healthy, you try to win. Will it work? I kind of lean toward Matt in that somebody's going to go down, and rather than calling up a triple-A pitcher that has no business being in the rotation, they're going to go down to five. There's no question.
And I think this team, look, they did a hell of a job. I got to give the Angels really, you know, they traded away a big young arm, and they got Alderson Simmons. They got Kinsler. I know Kinsler's 35 or whatever. He's still a good player. Signed Upton. They put a lot of nice pieces on this team. They got two catchers who can frame real well in Martin Maldonado and Rene Rivera.
Sure.
So the way I'm looking at it, if this team is really in contention around the break, which I think they should be, for at least at worst a wild card, they're going to trade for an arm, is the way I'm looking at it. You're going to get somebody and take on a contract, whatever, okay, and make that run that way. So that's why that's another reason why I'm going to be
pessimistic.
Pessimistic that it lasts all season, whether it works or not.
So are we going to get 2-star weeks out of Ohtani?
No, as of currently consistent, no. And look, where do you want these 140 innings? To me, it doesn't really matter where you get them, as long as you're a good 140, 150 innings.
So he has to be efficient with these innings, Ohtani, especially considering his ADP. He's on Jake's team, right, from Labor?
He is. We're talking to Jake about that coming up. I'm sure you'll talk about it with him. No, you won't?
No, of course. I mean, can you save something for me?
Well, I plan on doing it all during the noon hour, so you're going to not save anything for me, realistically. I wasn't going to touch it over the next 2 hours.
I'm ready to talk about it now, but no.
I'm holding off.
All right.
I have stuff.
We got plenty of labor to talk about. All right, so
we can do it. We have to do it with Jake twice then.
It's a huge draft. We can go.
Well, I want to focus on Jake.
All right, so I'll focus on everybody else.
What did you think about your boy Dr. Roto taking Sanchez?
He doesn't know. He didn't look at the draft.
I did look at the draft. trying to be slick. Dr. Roto took Sanchez on the 1-2 turn. That was the first thing that jumped out to me.
Really?
Yeah, because that was the fact that it was all those pitchers in the first round. You normally don't see that in industry drafts. And then Dr. Roto taking Sanchez on the turn, I have not seen him go that high.
You wonder what I was blown away? I'm sorry. Wonder what I was blown away by when I heard he took him to, like, Gary Sanchez is going to be a second-round pick this year in drafts. I'm like, he's been a second-round pick. I've been drafting since before Thanksgiving.
Well, Doc don't know that. Doc hasn't
No, Doc didn't say that, but the other people.
For me, the biggest surprise, I'm not going to get into the draft, was Paul Goldschmidt falling all the way from 3, where he normally goes, to like 6 or to 7, actually. And he went down there, and I wonder if that was because of the news that I heard late last night, which is Matt's fear is coming to life.
Yeah, it sounds like this is going to happen.
The general manager of Arizona said there will be a humidor in Chase Field in 2018.
So that's supposed to take that's supposed to suck some of that air out of there and knock the ball down?
Mm-hmm.
But now my question is, how can they manipulate this humidor? Like, is it at times where, Maybe they want the offense. I don't know how you manipulate a humidor, so maybe I have to do some humidor research.
I have to do some humidor research indeed.
We got to do too much to be a fantasy analyst. Now we got to be damn scientists.
When we come back, there will be humidor research.
Bill Nye.
It's Valentine's Day, so we're going to tell you about a team that nobody has love for but us. We'll tell you about it on FST coming up next.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
What is up, FST, on FNTSY? That's where you want to be. Now, it's Valentine's Day, gentlemen. Are you doing anything to celebrate?
Nothing, 15 years, we don't go crazy.
Deodorant food, maybe?
Yeah, we'll be ordering.
We'll be ordering some food, all right. Corey, will you be doing anything to celebrate this evening?
No, I'm chilling.
Chilling.
Yeah, I'll be chilling. No,
I was on Valentine's Day when you were single. You go to a bar because the only people there are single women, and it's just like, oh, right. They're all.
Oh, I might go see my star tender tonight. I might go check her out, but nothing spectacular though.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We were going for dinner, but my girlfriend's sick, so we're not doing anything.
Yeah, so you got to lay low.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody loves certain players, of course, and certain teams. Because they're hot, and they're fun, and they're lovable. But there's some teams that just nobody really loves. They're kind of boring. Nobody really watches their games. They're ugly, playing an ugly stadium, in an ugly time zone. It's very boring.
Why don't you just call them fat like you did yesterday?
Well, it's not Fat Tuesday. Today's a lovable day. Today's Valentine's Day.
You doing all that body shaming yesterday.
It was Fat Tuesday.
Now you're saying teams are ugly.
I am. But we love them. That's the point. We love them anyway. And I'm talking to you, Oakland Athletics. There's nothing fun about the Athletics. They're boring. But there's still things to love when it comes to fantasy baseball. And I wanted to try to pick this apart a little bit with you today, Matt and Corey, about how much we should love certain players in fantasy baseball. And I'll start with Matt Olson. Now, Matt Olson, we're going to do this coming up in a few weeks' time, or a few days' time, depending on when I get to it. But if you stopped watching baseball on August 1st, you may not know who Matt Olson is. And that's fair.
It's absolutely fair, because I don't have no who to
call. We're going
to
have a whole list. There's going to be a whole list of these guys, I promise you, that we're going to be like, who the hell is this? But Matt Olson is a guy that's like mini Rhys Hoskins in a way.
Who's Rhys Hoskins?
Exactly. Talked about that on August 1st.
He was the September version of Rhys Hoskins.
There you go. But what can Matt Olson be from April 1st through October 1st is the question. We're trying to figure out where is the value on this Athletics team. And I believe it starts with Matt Olson. It doesn't end there, but I think it starts there. How much do you like Matt Olson?
I mean, the obvious is I like him for the power. But I just don't know about that batting average. Last year, just over 200 plate appearances, was right around 260-ish. September, he went, he just went bananas, whatever term you want to use. Hoskins came up in August and tore baseball up. He went on fire. And he kind of pulled back in September. He did pull back in September. But Matt Olson picked up that torch and ran with it. The power is there. He's going to play. This is Oakland. This is one of their young guys that they're counting on. He could hit 40 home runs and also bat like, 220. So that's very realistic.
Sure. Then you get to a guy across the diamond. That's the third base. We talked about him on the BFFs yesterday.
Oh, I know who that is.
Do you?
Yep.
Who?
I listened to the BFF yesterday.
Right.
Matt Chapman.
That's absolutely correct. Across the diamond, you have Matt Chapman. And called up the All-Star break, immediately inserted into the lineup, hasn't been taken out since. Do you love Matt Chapman?
No, I don't love him, but I mean, late, if you know, I kind of punted it. He's another guy, same kind of profile as Olsen. He has power. The batting average is going to be suspect, though. I mean, do you want, say he hits 28 homers and bats 235. What is that? Is that something you really want? I mean, it may help you if he can be over 250 and get that power from a third baseman or a corner guy late. You need to insert. Somebody goes down, especially in the deeper leagues. I mean, obviously, it's more deeper league-centric with a Matt Chapman. But there is a guy I do love on.
Who might that be?
Hopefully the opening day center fielder.
Dustin Fowler.
Yeah.
So he was the next guy I was going to bring up. Now, Boog Powell, if you go to Roster Resource, you know how much I like that, Corey. But Boog Powell is penciled in there as starting center fielder. Dustin Fowler, obviously, he's never played a game for the A's. He was out all year last year. I have the brutal patella tendon injury he suffered with the Yankees. Now, he's got a speed and power combination. But will he fully recover from a knee injury? A very serious knee injury. I think that's a question we got to wait on. We have to try to figure out before we dive in deep on Dustin Fowler.
Yeah, that's one of the things in spring training you're going to look at. I've pretty much been scooping him up everywhere I can. He was once like a 27th, 28th round pick, and he shot up from there. The thing is, spring training, if this guy's running and he looks good, his ADP is going to be mid-teens, possibly.
Yeah.
Because he could offer 20-20. He's, if healthy, is going to be the starting center fielder and play every day. You know, maybe they give him a little break to start it off here and there to start the season.
Wait, this is the dude. I feel like I remember this story.
I'm sure you do. You probably watched the game.
I doubt that.
Okay.
You're just the kid that came up. Was it his first game?
First game, first inning.
Wait a minute, but that wasn't a...
Yankees.
Yeah, Yankee dude. That was a patella tendon.
Yes.
Yeah, that injury is real hard to come back from.
Correct.
Yeah, that injury is not... It's not going to be easy for him to get out there on the field. I don't see him getting out there on the field. Because that was June. Year is June. And we got to ask Dr. A about this, because this looks like it's going to be a tough injury to rebound from. But he's going like real late though, Matt. When 50 round drafts, he's going in the 28th. That's almost like
He's been moved up. He's moved up quite a few rounds. Probably still. In the low 20s. I think so. I'd take a shot on him. Look, if he's supposedly he's been cleared. He's going to be February 26th was the day. I guess maybe they have their first scrimmage or something like that. He's been cleared. All signs point to go here. And anything after the 20th round. I've seen him go, the highest I've seen him go is the 17th round. But anything past the 20th round, I'm in. Why not? Because if you have the if this kid possibly can get something circa 20-20, if not, what did you really lose?
You know, of course, you lose nothing. The potential is there. So those are three hitters I wanted to highlight when it came to the Oakland Athletics. And I think those are all fair. But then you get into the rotation. I think the rotation is something to look at, too. Because after Sonny Gray is gone, last year, people were very, very high on Sean Manaea, right? Like, Sean Manaea was a major, major thing. I'm not feeling like he is anymore. Is that the case, Matt?
Well, a lot of this, of the star, the shine, let's use that word, has been taken off Manaea. I know the thing we're hearing is the ADD that he was suffering from, and you know, he lost 25 pounds or something like that. He should still be a good pitcher. He had some really good... He had a really good start. It really... His season cratered on him. It really did. So if it's a medical issue, I mean, I can use Chris Davis from a couple of years ago.
Sure.
Where he had that phenomenal season. The next year, he didn't use the ADD medicine. He was terrible.
Yep.
Then was going back on it. Look, Manaea is young as well. I like him. At his price, why not? At his price, he's one of the arms. I'm not going to be fully invested in him, though. I'm not, like, he's not one of the guys every time he's there I'm taking.
Sure.
You know, bitch based on team context and everything. But, yeah, well, I don't see a reason to hate on Manaea. If you liked him last year and you can say it was this medical issue,
potentially so.
I'm not saying it's all medical, though. I know that that's something. But I still think there's talent in this arm from this kid. He's still young enough. So I'm not going to write him off after 1 year. I know a lot of people do. They move on.
Yep.
You know, you burned me once. You know, that's like the most asinine, idiotic fantasy, whether it's football or baseball.
But what about Mania's teammates? What about guys like a Daniel Mengden, a Jarrell Cotton, an Andrew Trace? What about those kind of guys?
Daniel Mengden's is the other guy. He had some promising things late in the season. Can it stick? I don't know. He's a guy like in the mid-20s. I took him in the bit, even in the 12-team league to beat Chris Liss. I think I went back-to-back with Mengden and Musgrove. I think you'll like that. I know Frankie Stanfield down there likes that as well. But these are guys that later on, you got to throw some darts on guys that showed some potential or have potential, whether it's it being in the right rotation where they're going to go every fifth day. So even Mengden, Cotton has possibly one of the best changeups in baseball. My question is, has he figured it out? I'm not the biggest Kendall Graveman guy.
Okay.
I would take a shot on him late.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, Triggs, I was on Triggs last year.
Yep.
I think he might be more of a reliever.
Okay. So when it comes to the A's rotation, it sounds like you're fine with Mania, but the guy that you're kind of interested in is Mengden. When are you taking him? You're taking him like the last round? Like about 20, not of a 50-round draft. I'm talking about a standard like a 25-round draft.
Yeah, well, in a 23-round draft, 12-teamer.
Sure. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe the 23rd round. I think I took him in like the 25th. In the 12 team I did last Saturday.
I'll say this. In last night's labor draft, he did not get drafted.
And that was 29 rounds, right?
Yes, sir.
I got to think. I got to look at the... I see Homer Bailey, Jacob Junis, Adam Wainwright and stuff. I don't know.
So you're saying it's a mistake.
I would have taken a shot on him.
I feel like this guy's pretty good.
Yeah, I would have taken a shot.
So what was the deal with him last year? What?
Well, did he get injured or something? I'm trying to remember now.
So he came up in May, it looks like. He got blown out his first couple of starts.
Mm-hmm.
Gets hurt, comes back mid-September. Pitches 3 shutouts. 3 out of 4 starts where he didn't have any runs.
Like I said, there's some hope to be... Look, this is not a guy I'm relying on, but it's a guy... You know, these are the guys that give you profit.
Just 24 years old. Daniel Mengden, you just made my sleeper list. Congratulations. Appreciate that. When we come back, we continue hashtag RotoCamp with Corey Parson.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created 3 others. That's 4 people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
I want to go back to basics for hashtag RotoCamp. Before we do that, I want you to remind you that if you're thinking of giving DFS a try, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NHL and NBA free rolls each and every week. They're free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. Now, Corey, for RotoCamp, it's important to remember the guys that were traded.
Yeah.
Right. There was a lot of guys that were been traded this offseason. Nobody signed. A lot of guys have been traded, and it's important to remember that.
No, they do a lot of. They had a lot of trades, and like you said, nobody was signing. There's still 90 free agents left.
So I want to make sure that
out of 166
for RotoCamp, you are aware of everything that's gone down and how the value has changed.
This is. I'm glad you're doing this.
Thank you. So I want to begin with Giancarlo Stanton.
I know that's easy.
You know that one.
He's a Yankee.
How has his value changed from Miami to New York, Matt?
Now he's could possibly look. He was always going to be a first rounder. Maybe he was a little later. Now he's definitely a mid first rounder, possibly top 5, and in some cases top 3. I've seen in drafts where he's gone in the top 3. And if look, if you believe he's going to hit at least 50 homers, he did make adjustments with the swing and the stance. And we always said if he played a full season, he was going to hit 50 home runs.
And he did.
And he did.
Almost at 60.
So, yeah, 59. So now you go from Miami to Yankee Stadium.
The man box.
You're in a lineup, say, sandwiched in between Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez.
Right.
I got to think the fastballs are going to have to come at some point, you know. So it's an ideal situation. You look for like these perfect storm scenarios. So I get why, you know, Jake took him last night. I get why he goes in the mid. I don't own him yet. I've always been a Stanton guy. I feel like I've been a Stanton apologist. Even though people who called him a fraud last year have not apologized. Just let the record show on that. I have no problem. I would like to, again, I think I may, it depends. I don't know, in New York, should I probably go a different route. But I'm sure I'll have him in a draft in at least one or two.
So out were those people last year when he was hurt. You know, ultimately, they call him injury prone. They don't want to deal with it. He was the guy that you take, and you're just like, ugh. And now everybody's all back in.
Well, that's what I hear about. Like, and people say that about Bryce Harper. He's never had a 100 RBI season. He's had a 99 RBI season. He's had an MVP season. He's going to be, he's about 25 years old. And like Stanton, you know, he's going to hit 50 home runs. So, you know, he did it last year. So maybe this is the year for Harper to get 130 RBIs.
Corey, do you feel comfortable taking Giancarlo Stanton now in the middle of the first round where he's going?
Yeah, you look at that bat, you look at the lineup, you look at the ballpark, all things point in the right direction. Obviously, health and being able to get those at-bats is key. But when he's out there on the field, the dude is just going to be hitting home runs after home run after home run. Chicks dig the long ball. That's how you get, you know, your numbers up with your power numbers, your counting stats and stuff like that. So, yeah, I can definitely see Giancarlo squarely back in that first round, maybe even the top half of that first round in them top five picks.
I mean, just picture this. Picture a home and away series between the Yankees and the Orioles. And that Oriole pitching staff having to face Judge, Stanton, Sanchez at Yankee Stadium and at Coors East.
It must be nice. It must be nice. Now, Corey, do you know that Giancarlo Stanton had some teammates that were traded this offseason?
I know Derek Jeter came out there and he gutted the Marlins. I saw that on SportsCenter. I saw that on the Six.
He did.
Yeah.
D. Gordon was also traded away.
Get out of here.
Yeah. D. Gordon was also traded away.
Who do you play for now?
He now plays for the Miami, from Miami, and now plays in Seattle.
The Seahawks. No.
Not the Seahawks.
The Mariners.
No.
The Mariners,
yeah.
That's good because now you get that catalyst, that speed guy up at the top of that lineup, and then you got dudes like Nelly and Robinson Cano. So his runs score should improve. I don't know what the manager situation is as far as his base stealing goes, but I don't really see you bringing D. Gordon to your organization and telling him you're not going to be able to run. So yeah, I think you see an improvement in his fantasy numbers too.
Yeah, now you have to like that lineup. I'm assuming it'll be him leading off with Segura second. Then you have, you know, Cano, Cruz. I mean, guys like Seager that nobody has love for anymore, but consistently does put up numbers. It's just it's a really long and deep lineup. Mariners thing is going to come down to pitching. Can Paxton stay healthy? What does King Felix have left? D. Gordon is really not a one trick pony kind of guy. I know he gets labeled that all the time, but you got to think he's going to score a ton of runs, right? As we just stated at the lineup, he's going to steal 50, 60 bases, and he usually bats 280 to 300. So,
alongside Gene Segura at the top of that Mariners lineup, runs should be there, stolen bases should be there, the average should be close enough. As Matt said, he's going to be a value. Where will that be valued? Corey, where do you feel comfortable taking D. Gordon?
Oh, that's a good question.
Thank you.
Oh, that's a real good question. I don't know. What's his ADP?
Currently, if you look at the NFBC ADP, which is what I'm going to do.
Don't tell me.
Okay. Because I'm going to look.
Gordon could lead the league in stolen bases.
Yep.
He's going to have a very good batting average. We're going to like the runs and stuff like that. So you take that kind of toolsy player. Durability hasn't really been a concern. He had the steroid thing, but I think he's clean of that now. You don't want to get the big suspension. So a player with that kind of skills, that kind of tools, and that lineup, I say he's on a 3-4 turn.
He is even closer. He's higher up, actually. Mm-hmm. He's number 28 overall over the last 2 weeks.
On a 2-3 turn.
On a 2-3 turn.
All right, so, yeah, so I wasn't as aggressive.
And he went pretty much around that area last night, right?
I don't even have last night's up right now. I was just looking at the NFC.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
And that's Ray where Murphy. People... And it's interesting. To me, would you potentially pull up a D. Gordon? If you draft Giancarlo Stanton in the middle of that first round, would you be tempted to then draft D. Gordon in the second? Because that's a really interesting start to me. Stanton and Gordon, because you have the 60 home run power potential of Giancarlo Stanton and a 60 steal potential of a D. Gordon. Would that be tempting for you, Matt?
It's tempting, but I'm looking where you could have got J.D. Martinez instead. Jose Ramirez. Well, actually, they went right before him, so excuse me. Yeah, I mean, I'd have to see who's on the board. I have a hard time doing it. I'm just going to be honest with
okay.
you. I get it. I don't have a problem with it, but I'm probably going to want, like, if Jose Ramirez is there, but obviously it seems like he's not. So I guess, yeah, it makes the question. It's a good start. You're really setting yourself up nice with the power and the speed. So.
Listen, again, that was just a suggestion by me.
No. Look, he is a second-round pick.
Yeah.
He's going to go anywhere from, once we go live, he's going to go anywhere. He'll even move up to early second round. There's going to be people that, like you said, say it at the end of the first round or whatever, somebody falls or they get a Harper, you go a Harper Gordon, you go Stanton. I mean, Goldschmidt's probably going to fall down now. Goldschmidt, we're going to see.
Because of the humidor?
Because of the humidor.
Interesting,
people,
okay.
People are going to knock
him. That's a buying
him.
Opportunity then, because we don't really know what this humidor is going to do.
Yeah, no. It's I don't know how the humidor is going to be implemented, if it's going to be used all the time, if they could scale it back. Like, I don't know. I don't know how you... I would assume once it's implemented, the league's going to say for this full season, you have to have it that way.
Yeah.
That would sound fair to me.
Yeah,
but
you don't want to get them all jacked up like that.
Yeah, you don't want to be able to manipulate, you know, games. Like, you got a bad pitcher going, you're like, screw it. We need to screw
Turn
runs.
The humidor off. So who else got traded?
Well, I do want to actually go backwards.
Oh, my bad.
Because, no, you're good. Because in that Giancarlo Stanton email. And then Giancarlo Stanton trade, it's kind of an email.
That's crazy.
Starlin Castro, he was traded back to Miami.
To the Cubs? Oh, back to Miami.
He was traded back to Miami in that deal.
I hate to see him go.
Now, I like Starlin Castro also, but does Starlin Castro have fantasy value this year? I mean, he did certain
things. Everybody around him is terrible, though, right?
Sure, but they're going to score runs, aren't they? Like, somebody's going to score runs.
That's a big ballpark. I don't know.
Look, they may win 20 games, but they're going to score some runs. Right now, Justin Bour is still there.
Okay.
Castro's still there.
Brinson's there.
Lewis Brinson. Brian Anderson. She's a guy in very deep leagues that, you know, he's going to play every day at third base. So they're going to have some players. I think if they're being smart, which it seems like on this occasion they are, Castro don't want to be there. They want to trade him, but you don't need to trade him right away just to get him off your books.
Right.
You know, trade him to the right scenario where you get something back. I mean, I would have liked Castro on the Mets. I'm not going to lie.
Of course.
That would have been a really nice fit.
I agree. But he's in Miami. Is there fantasy value for Starlin Castro right now?
There is, but it's going to be depressed, right?
Okay.
That's obvious. And that's why you're getting him at the price you're going to get him. I'm actually curious to see what his exact price is. But, you know, you're going to get where people... Like, you see why, like, Yelich was a player everybody loved, but, you know, over 50%
yep.
ground balls
yep.
and stuff like that. Now he goes to a park that should help his game. A team that loves to run. I think only the Angels stole more bases than the Brewers last year. So you factor that in, all that in. A proven hitter, a park that should help power, and a guy that can run and should run a lot.
Sure.
You know, so with Castro, he's going to play all the time. He should be in a
prime spot in the lineup, yeah.
So he's going to get... He's definitely going to have some...
Listen,
nobody wants him.
Nobody wants him at all. And listen, a guy like Starlin Castro, who went in the 23rd round last night. He's going to bat third on this team. He's going to have every opportunity to play every day. Mm-hmm. And if he plays well enough, go to a better ballpark. There's something here with Starlin Castro.
His ADP the last 2 weeks is 275. Starlin Castro gets traded to a decent team.
Those are 50 spots.
Yeah, he would go up a hell of a lot.
50 spots, yeah. I'm telling you.
I'll get down with that.
We'll continue our hashtag RotoCat with players that were traded when we come back. You just heard Matt mention Christian Yelich. We'll continue to talk about the Christian Yelich trade with the Lewis Brinson side as well. Yelich and Brinson wrap up our hour right after this.
How's it going in there?
5 more minutes.
Okay, let's play a game. 2 truths, 1 lie. We're not going to be late to the party. In the time you've taken to get ready, you could have been on your way to saving a life. And I'm wearing that tie you hate.
We're not going to be late. We're 10 minutes away. You wouldn't dare wear that tie. And I can't save a life. I'm not a firefighter.
Actually, I swabbed my cheeks last week.
It takes less than a minute to get your cheek swabs. Register at dkms.org and you can be a superhero by helping someone out.
Back with you, FST, Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Executive and Wall Street here with you. I'm Greg. What?
Today is Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first kiss?
Yeah.
I don't. It's a blur. But you remember it like it was yesterday, huh?
I didn't say that.
who was the
lucky lady? Should I give her name out?
Who was the young person? the young lady. Who was the young lady?
Her name was Melanie.
Melanie, okay.
Yeah.
That's nice. What about you, Matt? Do you remember your first kiss?
I think it was my first one. I said Jennifer, but yeah. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, all right. I don't remember this.
I'm
going back in the archives. I'm trying to think back into those oh so precious years, and it does not ring a bell to me who this first kiss person would have been.
Bavona, do you remember who your first kiss was?
I do, actually. It was 1996.
Oh, boy. He got the date.
Yeah.
I'm Corey, if you know me, I'm crazy like this. I know dates perfectly. I know things like this. I remember it was 1996. It was like the summer, and there was this girl, Tess.
Tess, okay.
Okay. Mine was also in the summer. Was your summer fling as well, Matt?
Probably during school.
During school.
Grade,
okay.
I'm thinking.
All right. And you have no idea, Corey.
I can't. I'm trying to go back into the archives. You know what I'm saying? Think back to a young fantasy executive, and it's escaping me right now.
Mrs. Jurgensen does not count.
Do you remember your second kiss was then?
I think second one I could probably get into the range of some people. You know what I'm saying?
You're kissing a lot of women back then.
No, it's not. It's not necessarily that. I just don't. I'm just like drawing a blank. It's not like, you know, I wasn't back then in those years. I wasn't as studly as I am now.
Sure.
But, you know, the younger fantasy executive was very shy, more humble. And I'm trying to figure out on this being
Valentine's Day. It wasn't until you reached your young Billy D
days. I started to take shape a little bit later on. But I think when you started to talk about that second, I think I remember that girl. I don't really remember her name, though.
I do remember like playing spin.
But then again,
spin the bottle.
It's been a couple. I don't remember. I really.
You bring up a question you didn't have your own answer to.
No, but I wanted to know if that was natural for me not to have an answer to this question. But everybody else seems to remember exactly who these ladies are.
I just want to. I mean, I'm not on Facebook, but do you or Bavona? Are you following these people on Facebook or anything like that?
I'm gonna look right now.
I'd find that creepy.
I have no idea if I'm friends with this person on Facebook or not. Like, I might have been friends with her from years ago. You know, I don't like unfriend people.
Okay.
I don't. Okay. I don't even know how to spell her last name, but I am not friends with her on Facebook.
You need to put down Melanie first kiss.
Melanie first kiss did not come up. So there you go. No, I do not follow her on Facebook. Do you follow your first kiss here on Facebook? You don't even know who it is, so.
I don't even know who this woman would be. Yeah, so I know one of the
it's bringing back some nice memories. You knew how it was fun.
One of the early ones, I remember her, Kiana. I think she is my friend on Facebook. Yeah, I'm not going to say her last name.
No, you don't have to say her last name.
Please don't.
She's in the, she lives in the 757 and now they're with, in the Jake Seeley area.
Yeah, maybe Jake can get a kiss from her. Might be his first kiss. I'm sorry, I couldn't piss.
I don't think she Jake Seeley type, though.
Christian Yelich. Lewis Prince.
Might as well not even do the Yelich thing now.
No,
because
no.
Yeah, got a minute left.
I'm not going to do that now.
That was fun. That was fun.
No, it was nice and early. I appreciate it, Corey. It's Valentine's Day.
It is Valentine's Day.
Feeling the love. Feeling the love. Sixpence None the Richer. Kiss Me. It's a nice job by Chris Pavona. From what movie, Pavona?
She's All That.
Good boy. Good boy.
Exactly.
All
right. Never advanced yet.
I didn't ask Matt Modica. I asked Chris Pavona. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Maybe we'll talk about Brinson. We also have Michelle Fico's in the house. We'll talk to her in a little bit too.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Number two, Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Parson, Matt Modica, and Greg Sussman all here with you on this lovely Valentine's Day. We went over our plans. But Vona, I didn't ask you. I apologize. Do you have Valentine's Day plans tonight?
Not tonight, actually. The lovely lady is working tonight, but she's working double. She's getting double the money. So we're doing our Valentine's Day over the weekend.
What are you doing for it?
I think we're going to go see the musical parody of Cruel Intentions.
Oh, I didn't know. We were just talking about
Cruel Intentions.
I was a big Sarah Michelle Gellar fan.
Geller.
It's okay.
Sarah Michelle Gellar. When we were talking about the test of how Sarah Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze have stood the test of time.
Hey, Bavona, will there be a proposal involved this weekend?
Not this weekend, okay. No.
What about next weekend?
Stay tuned.
What? That wasn't a no. That was not a no.
Stay tuned. That's all I'm going to say.
Be getting married at that work here in the next.
I'm betting money he comes back married from Europe.
He at least be engaged.
Married?
He's like some in chateau in Paris.
Everybody on the fourth floor gonna be married soon.
You?
No, hell no. I'm chilling.
You think you'll ever get married?
Huh?
Do you think you'll ever be married?
Who knows, Greg? Can't predict the future, Greg. I just know I'll be alright. I know I'll be alright. Regardless of the fact, I know I'll be alright.
There you go. Okay, so coming up in just a few moments, we have our Olympic coverage with our buddy Michelle. We'll talk about Shaun White, a lot that's going on with him. I'm excited to talk about that. Before we do, just a word on the Christian Yelich trade. Frank and I drafted him a month ago in the sixth round. And I remember we were talking about it with you, Matt, and we're like, oh, do you go Eric Hosmer or Christian Yelich? And I think you leaned Yelich, and we're like, all right, we'll take Yelich. And we didn't really feel good about it, but we did it. Literally a day later, he's traded to Milwaukee. I'm like, all right, his value is clearly going to rise. And not only did it rise, but it rose all the way to the third round last night. And we're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, well, for me, if I'd given the choice between Yelich or Benintendi, that's what we said after the trade.
That's exactly what
I want Yelich. Mm-hmm. I want the guy who's done it, who bats 290, 300, possibly can win a batting title. Can steal bases. And look, Benintendi had a great rookie season, and I like Benintendi a lot. But it was his rookie season. Give me the proven guy that's gone to Miller Park, a very good offense, and a team that's probably going to have to score a lot of runs with this suspect rotation.
Absolutely.
That he's run over about.
Yep.
So, yeah, I said it this weekend. That I did the Beat Christmas League. I did 3-4 turn. I got DeGrom. I was ecstatic. And I really was about to hit Yelich, but in that overall format, I knew I needed a closer, and Kenley Jansen, I just couldn't. I still go back and forth if I should have took Yelich, but I'm happy with Jansen.
On the other side of that trade, Corey, and hashtag RotoCamp, Lewis Brinson, a top Brewers prospect, was traded to Miami. He's had a chance to play every day. Is that interesting?
No, yeah. I mean, he's a prospect. You know, as long as he's not priced like he's done it already, then yeah, you know, I'm down. See what he got.
Well, in the 17th round last night.
That's about right.
I like that. I like Lewis Brinson in the 17th round.
Yeah, I probably would do some foul. But.
All right, fair enough. Take a break. We'll come back. Michelle Fico, DKMS, joins us next.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy executive, Corey Parsons.
That's me.
Matt Bodica. That's him. And joining me to my left right now from our friends at DKMS, it's Michelle Fico. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Yeah, a little bit closer, Michelle.
Yeah, I'm a little shorter than all these guys over here.
And we gave her the shortest chair.
Yeah, so, and I'm sinking in the chair.
There you go.
How you doing?
Good.
Nice
great.
To have you here.
Thank you.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. Yes, I saw a bunch of couples today, all fighting.
Yeah. Oh, that's not good.
Do you have Valentine's Day plans for this evening?
We do not celebrate Valentine's Day.
Good.
We're not fans. We're going to watch the Olympics later.
There you go.
And I'm going to make filet mignon or something.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah. We want to come over. Yeah.
So you guys want to come over.
I'm texting my wife, and you make a filet mignon today.
So there you go. Now, you're here from DKMS. We want to get into the Olympics, of course. And before we do, it's important to talk about what DKMS is and what it's all about and why it's important to go to DKMS.org/FNTSY. So why don't you talk about what you do for DKMS and why it's important for everyone to visit the website.
Yes, so I am the senior marketing manager at DKMS. And what we do is we run a bunch of campaigns that we're trying to reach 18 to 30-year-old millennials. And that's one of the reasons we got involved with fantasy sports as well, because it's really important for them to get on the registry, sign up. They are the most sought after donors to donate bone marrow, which is really important, saves lives. You can save from any age, any country, any gender, all diverse. So, you know, you can help anyone in need. And I think right now it's great. You know, people are winning gold medals at the Olympics, and a lot of us can't go to the Olympics, but hey, you can still save a life. And that's more important, and maybe someone you save could be a potential person that goes to a future Olympics.
You know, that's right.
Which would be great.
So there's a couple of things I took out of that. Number one, you said the biggest demographic is 18 to 30 millennials, right? I am now at the very end of that.
Yes, you
that's
are.
That is very upsetting.
Congratulations.
My birthday over this past weekend, and I'm very upset that I'm now at the end. I'm usually right in the middle of that. Now I'm at the end. That makes me feel very old.
Well, you can still, you can donate 18 to 55.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Everybody can
Let's
get
use
involved.
That one. Let's use that number.
Yeah, so the millennial audience is just, they're sought after because they do recover quicker.
Okay.
They can produce more stem cell to donate. So that's really the reason for that.
And the second thing is, and you brought up the Olympics, of how a bone marrow donation can go to anybody, you know, any color, any race, any country, any nationality, anything like that. And the Olympics is that time when the whole world comes together. Right, like the whole world comes together for sports and athletics and X Games style stuff, and that's why DKMS is the perfect time to join the bone marrow the list, to become a donor. And it just takes literally a minute to swab your cheeks. Like, literally, we did it on the air one day. Swab, here you go, you're done. That's it. It's so easy, and I want to just highlight just that fact. You know, there's no test you have to fill out or an essay that you have to write. You saw your cheeks, you send it back to DKMS, they do the rest. It's really easy.
And you could also donate, I think it's a $45 donation that was something that was really...
Yeah, so for $45, that covers a registration, which is also great. So you can donate as well, and that'll cover the cost of someone registering. If, let's say, you're not eligible once you go through the medical criteria and things like that, you can still support the entire process, and you can still help people register and donate, which is great.
I know a couple of our listeners have registered and donated and taken apart and gotten their packages and swabbed their cheek. I know for like my man Ron Cafferty has, and some of the other guys that listen, and gals too. So obviously, glad to be help this cause right here, Michelle.
Yeah. Thanks. We appreciate you guys talking about it and promoting it. It's you know, it's great. So you just have to go to dkms.org/fntsy and just register. That's all we need you to do. Help out. Get on that list.
Yeah.
If you get called. You know, help someone out. A future Shaun White. There, you know, so let's we need get a couple more Chloe Kims.
Let's get into Shaun White here a little bit. And what?
I didn't think she was going to drop that. I just didn't. I thought it would come from like me.
Let's get into Shaun White here a little bit. Do you like how I just ignore it?
Why?
Nothing good can come out of it.
What?
Anything.
All right.
So... So Shaun White last night won his third gold medal in the halfpipe event. He did not win 4 years ago in Sochi. He came in fourth four years ago.
Why? What happened 4 years ago? He came in fourth. He didn't even medal.
He did not even medal.
I wonder if he was okay.
So he won. He was just, I believe, 18 years old when he won his first medal. 22 when he won his next gold medal, both in the halfpipe event. And then came in fourth in Sochi. And then last night won the gold medal in a dramatic, run because he was the last one to go.
You really couldn't have scripted it better.
You couldn't. He was the last one to go because he had the best qualifying score. He had the highest score going into the second round, to the second run. A Japanese competitor had an unbelievable run, finished at 90 with a score of 95. And Shaun White had to be not just perfect, but he had to pull out everything he had.
All the stops.
Every stop he could have possibly mustered. And he did it. And he did it.
And he won the gold medal.
So he did it, and he's pumping his fist, and he's going nuts. And I'm sitting here thinking, listen, the guy that is ahead of you right now had a 95. Like, you might not have your hand in the wrong spot on that board, and you might not get it. And he's sitting there, and he slung the snowboard off, and he's kind of just waiting there. He's pacing, and he's trying not to look at the judges, and it's so clear he's trying to look every which way but at the judges. And you have an American PA announcer or English-speaking PA announcer going off at all his achievements, all the accomplishments. And he's like, he literally goes, and he's trying to win his third gold medal in the sport, and will he do it? We'll find out right now. And then the South Korean takes over. And you hear him talking in Korean, and you can't understand it.
No, you don't understand that.
And all of a sudden, the words 97 come out, and he just loses his mind. Like, throws everything in the air, starts hysterically crying. Like, hysterically, not like tears. Breaks down emotionally by himself. Eventually finds his family. They all break down in massive amounts of tears. It was, as Matt said, you couldn't have scripted any better, Michelle. The amount of emotion, the amount of excitement. You're sitting there on your couch thinking like, holy crap, you feel for this guy. And this is like a favorite Olympic. This is the most decorated Olympic winter athlete in the history of the sport. In the history of the Winter Olympics. And how emotional he got, you couldn't help but be touched.
Yeah, no, I think it was great. I mean, he's known as the flying tomato.
Yeah.
He turned as red as a tomato crying, because he was so emotional, and it was great because he had to do what he had to do was 2 14-40s in a row on the half pipe, and he pulled that off, and then the rest was like cake for him, and he just finished, and they were like, he was standing there and they were killing him because he was so anxious, like moving around. I mean, all you guys saw, he was just like fidgeting. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, then when they announced it was great, he just broke down his family. Everyone was very excited. And I remember 4 years ago in Sochi when he hit the top of the half pipe and you just saw the board kind of almost snap in half. And then he went down. He knew it was over for him then. So this was great, like a great comeback, you know, three golds.
Good job for him.
Yeah, no. And what I think is great, too, Shaun White, now he's about 31 years old.
Yeah, grown now.
And on the female side, we have the, you know, the next Shaun White, it looks like.
Chloe
Kim.
Yeah. He became the first U.S. man to win three golds in the same individual event in Winter Olympic history. First U.S. Winter Olympian to win two gold medals 12 years apart.
Shout out to Shaun White. He gets it done for that Olympic performance.
It was absolutely outstanding. But we would be remiss if we didn't bring up the allegations regarding Shaun White and NBC not choosing to talk about it during the broadcast. What did you think of that decision by NBC?
So I think they were trying to focus on the win because not only was it his third gold, it was also the U.S.'s 100th medal that he also won. So I think they were trying to keep the focus on that, keep it a happy moment,
okay,
and not bring that up, because that should be. And I kind of see what they were doing, because it should be kind of talked about maybe in a separate meeting that doesn't tarnish the entire Olympics, because you know everyone's enjoying it, and you know he's enjoying the gold at that moment, and this is something that happened in 2016 that apparently they did settle on it. So I think it's kind of it should be a separate conversation, just for the audience and also for him and all the other athletes, just so their focus isn't just put on like Shaun White, you know, gold, but also this whole like cloud over his head.
Sure.
So that's what I think. I mean, there should be some kind of conference soon, maybe this week. So, I mean, that's how I feel about it, just so we can like kind of clear the air on his side and then just like, you know, get that out there and go forward.
Sure.
And enjoy, you know, enjoy. Then go back to, you know, maybe enjoying his gold for a while, because he didn't even like get to enjoy it for 24 hours yet before it's like, oh, and this other thing also, and it's like, ooh. And I remember that when it happened, you know, but then you kind of, it's a couple of years later, you don't really think about it. Now you're like in the Olympics thinking about the Olympics.
Sure.
So
DKMS.org/FNTSY. That's the website to go to. Become a bone marrow donor. Swab your cheeks and just help somebody. You can save someone's life. It's super important. Shelvigo, it's been awesome.
Thank you
for hanging out with us.
Thanks, guys.
It's been awesome. We'll do it again soon. We'll take a break. I'll come back and we'll discuss the night in the NBA when we come back.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
With you here on Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I want to thank Michelle Fico for stopping by. Corey Parson, Matt Modica, Greg Sussman here with you today. As always, coming up next, the Royal Extras podcast will be heard. We're podcasts are heard wherever. Corey next will be us. But next hour, of course, it's FSTOT. Corey takes the big chair. Jake Seeley joins the program. I'm sure you'll talk about Jake's draft as well.
Yeah, we'll talk about Jake's team and the labor draft last night as he tries to defend his championship. And then at the end of the program, Matt Modica will give Jake Seeley his grade.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Oh, okay.
Got your red pen, Matt?
I got it somewhere, but we got it.
Find it. You'll find it. There you go. So that'll be cool coming up on FSTOT in a little bit. Let's talk about the NBA, because Corey Bridges brought something to my attention that I did not know. That was wild. So, Corey, take it away.
The Cavaliers, as I was reading, were almost able to acquire DeAndre Jordan last week too.
How? What did you read there?
What I'm reading is I think that one kind of fell apart because they wanted another wing player and they were not really that sold on Shumpert.
The Clippers wanted a wing player, say.
Yeah. But they tried to get a third team involved, but yeah, exactly. Nobody. They wanted to get a third team involved, and they also and the Clippers and Cavs were trying to trade them Tristan Thompson, and they wanted no part.
Tristan Thompson of 2 points last night.
Yeah, they wanted no parts of Tristan Thompson. So that's kind of more or less. I'm just reading it now, but it's kind of more or less how it all shook down, where they didn't. They weren't able to pull off that final trade to get DeAndre Jordan. But listen, from what you saw on the court last night. That was a lock of the night, and I got that one wrong. That team, they are playing with a new spirit, a new freedom right now. That's a big-time road win going up against Oklahoma City. OKC made it close at times, but Cleveland was in control of that game the whole game.
And, I mean, dating back to the past week versus Boston, and, you know, you saw them, you saw excitement on the bench, which I don't think is something you saw previously. Once they got everybody that they traded for was active and involved. So you know, this could be a very nice turning point. That's a big win.
Yeah, that's and Matt is right. J.R. Smith said it's almost like they've been playing together before already. So that team is coming together nicely. Once again, it looks like they're right back in contention in the Eastern Conference. One of the things they did say before the trade, though, when Altman called LeBron in and told him he had his moves on the table, he told LeBron, he was like, but it starts with you. And if you're not engaged, then it's not going to work. And you're not engaged right now. It's very scary. Yeah, I know Altman was like,
Mr.
James.
I think it might have been more like LeBron going to Altman and saying, Did you get those guys I asked about? How's that working out?
We want you to be engaged.
See, I can see LeBron being like the boss from Office Space, walking around.
Lundberg?
Yeah. I kind of need you to get these players in. Isaiah Thomas kind of needs to get the hell out of town.
That was the first thing that they wanted to do.
Get rid of him.
It was to get rid of Isaiah
Thomas.
Who was
the other cancer?
Dwayne Wade.
Wade, but there was
Dwayne Wade is a cancer. What was the issue with Wade?
Two buddy-buddy.
With LeBron.
Two buddy-buddy with LeBron.
So LeBron, the two of them were just doing their thing and ignoring everybody else.
Yeah, more or less. And ignoring everybody else. And they believed that was the reason why J.R. Smith's play went down.
Because he felt left out?
J.R. Smith apparently is a child. he needed his time with LeBron,
Kevin,
too.
At least Kevin Love is used to it.
Other guy's name that they said was a cancer in that locker room. Almost probably as bad as Isaiah Thomas.
Really?
Jay Crowder. That's what I heard.
I like Jay Crowder.
That's what I heard. I'm not saying
it might be difficult to work with Jay Crowder. He could be like, you know, a guy that's difficult to work with.
It's working for Utah.
Utah. I mean, he probably go out there and just everybody. He might be humbled now.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like you say, like now you get traded, and it's kind of like a slap in reality, a slap in the face, however you want to put it. And you're like, you know what?
I mean, he was on two contenders, mm-hmm. and now he's on the Jazz.
The Jazz are fighting for the playoffs.
He live in Utah. It's not really ideal.
The home of Mitt Romney?
Yeah. Not really a place that I think that I would have a good time at, Utah.
Maybe. I heard Salt Lake City's fun.
I heard Salt Lake City was fun also.
You can really improve your ski game, though.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think Utah is going to be a place that I would... I mean, if I'm in Salt Lake City, I'm in there for a couple nights and I'm good, but I'm not, I can't relocate.
You don't see what talent has to offer in Salt Lake City?
I don't see it. I don't see it. You know what I'm saying? I don't see it for me.
Okay, that's fair. The Cavaliers, the new look Cavaliers, defeated OKC last night 120-112. LeBron only had 37, 8, and 8.
Yeah. Off night for him.
Yeah. This is so interesting what the Cavs are doing now with this new look team. The starters don't matter.
No, uh-uh.
The starters that matter. You have JR and LeBron who matter. LeBron at 18-6. But is Larry Nance down the stretch with 13-9? Jordan Clarkson had 14. Rodney Hood had 14. Both Clarkson and Hood played 24 minutes. Larry Nance 25 minutes. These are enough time to get these things, to get it done.
I think they'll start to mesh and get a starting lineup, a better looking. Well, not better looking. As long as they win, it don't make a difference. But I think as they mesh and get people in the right situations and stuff like that, I thought you start to see a different starting lineup going out there. But they're playing very good ball right now. They're getting minutes from all of the guys that they traded for last week. All of these guys are scoring in double digits. You know, they look like a team as opposed to a collection of individuals.
Cohesive.
Yes. In only two games, they did this.
Yeah, they really did. It's very impressive, the cohesion from the bench. I don't even know you need to change the starter's core. They're winning. Like, what
yeah,
the
exactly.
You know, it makes no difference.
Yeah, it's kind of like in fantasy football. Like the running back started, but the other guy got X amount more touches.
Exactly. For the Thunder, Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony both returned to the lineup, and both didn't have any minutes restrictions on them, as Westbrook played 39 minutes and Carmelo played 36. Westbrook finished with 21-12. While Melo had 24-7, Paul George is 25-6. Steven Adams with a monster game, 22-17.
Steven Adams is a beast. He gets it done. The problem with Oklahoma City last night is that threes weren't falling. So when Oklahoma City doesn't hit threes, they become a little bit more easy to manage. And last night was a night where Melo was 3-9 from the stripe. Paul George was 5-13.
13 three-pointers.
Yeah, it's crazy. Russell Westbrook was 0-3. Steven Adams, you know, Steven Adams didn't shoot no three. Not yet. He hasn't added that. So they struggled from three-point range last night. And Paul George cannot be taking 13 threes. That's
too many.
That's too many
that's
threes.
Too many.
That's not how they play.
No, it's not how they play. But they did win. They did fall last night to Cleveland 120 to 112. Tonight on Valentine's Day, I believe the Thunder have a back-to-back. Denver at home defeated the San Antonio Spurs. How about that, Corey?
Yeah, I was looking at the money line on that game, too.
Were you?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know why. I just found it interesting. But, yeah, Denver gets a nice victory at home yesterday over the San Antonio Spurs. Spurs just look like they're on the wrong side of things right now. Will Barton played 43 minutes last night.
Denver outscored San Antonio 30-19 in that fourth quarter to pull it away. A very, very, very even game throughout. Denver, like I said, pulls away in the fourth quarter, led by Will Barton's 43 minutes, 20 points in those 43 minutes. And, of course, Nikola Jokic, who's incredible, didn't have a personal foul. 23 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists, and he didn't have one foul.
That's amazing right there.
That's incredible.
That is incredible. That kind of triple-double and you don't foul nobody, and you're the center, that's very impressive.
Wilson Chandler turned back the clock. He had 17, 8, and 5. Do you know he's the last man standing of the Melo trade?
Oh, really?
Last player to still be on either one of the two teams.
He was over 5 from 3 points last night.
Yes, he was, but he scored 17.
No, he did good.
Gary Harris had 15, and you had Jamal Murray have 17 and 5 off the bench. You had Trey Lyles have 11. Frank Fastanfel started Devin Harris in a DraftKings lineup last night.
What did he do for
7 him? Points and 3 assists.
That's not going to cut it.
Didn't work out.
He didn't win.
No, he did not.
I guess he's eating a day-old salad today.
For San Antonio, 26-11 for Joffrey Laverne. King Joffrey had 26-11 off the bench for San Antonio. There was no LaMarcus Aldridge in this one. Davis Bertans got the start, had 12 points and 4 rebounds. Pau Gasol at 10-7, while DeJounte Murray, 12-6.
Hey, DeJounte Murray's putting up more offensive numbers than we thought
he's
would.
He's played really well.
Yeah, he really has. So that was a good move right there. Tough for this team to win without LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard.
I agree with that. You also had last night Houston go into Minnesota and dominate 126-108 for the Rockets. 34-13 by James Harden. 13-8-7 for Chris Paul. Clint Capella had 14-12.
As a team, with Harden, Paul, and what's the other dude's name?
Clint Capella.
With the three of them on in the lineup together, they still have not lost, right?
Really? Is that still the truth?
I think they still have not lost.
Wow,
the three of them in the lineup together.
That's incredible. 43.
That's going to just make it all the more interesting.
43-13 on the year for the Rockets. Ryan Anderson shifted to the bench with P.J. Tucker continuing to start. For Anderson, he went 6-10 from behind the arc off the bench. Same line as James Harden. 21 points for Ryan Anderson.
The Warriors should have been tried to make a move to get Ryan Anderson. Ryan Anderson would have fitted perfectly on that Golden State Warrior team, and not having the wherewithal to make that move may end up biting them.
Ryan Anderson has been on Houston for a little while now, though.
Ryan Anderson was the perfect fit for that team, and they really have a donut in Zaza out there. They should have figured out a way to get Ryan Anderson on that team, and now this year it's going to come back to haunt them.
I don't know, man. Like, Zaza's a donut, sure, but you're not starting Ryan Anderson at the center position.
No, you can't. You can't do that. But still, somebody that can get out on the pick and roll and still knock down that three, like that. Somebody like Ryan Anderson would have been a perfect addition for that team, and now he's going to be a problem versus them because now you have to guard him on the wing when you get into the conference finals. You have to guard him on the wing, and he can light it up.
Can we give a shout-out to the Raptors, 6 in a row, joined the 40-win club last night?
115-112 in a really good game against Miami. The Raptors were led by 27 from DeMar DeRozan, 22-8 for Kyle Lowry, for Miami. Every player off the bench had double-digit points, including my man Bam, 28-4 for Goran Dragic. We'll come back. We'll give you, today in history, we'll give you Corey's lock of the day, probably an unlock of the day.
nice.
So a whole bunch of more stuff. Stick around. It's more next.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created 3 others. That's 4 people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
with you, Fantasy Sports Today. Okay.
What? He was getting the groove down?
Yeah.
Of the poppiest, one of the poppiest joints ever made.
The Backstreet Boys?
Yeah, the Backstreet Boys poppy group.
This is them.
They did good work, though.
They did it for sure, absolutely. On this day in sports history, by the way, Clyde Drexler was traded to Houston.
Yay, Clyde the Glide goes from Portland to the Houston Rockets. He returns home, right?
He...
Five Slammer Jammer.
Sure, 1995, that took place. That's really
not
only...
Five Slammer Jammer. That was the 70s.
Oh.
Late 70s. Or was it early 80s? Five
what
Slammer
was,
Jammer.
Drexel... It was with something like that, wasn't it?
Hmm?
Clyde was with something to do with something like that.
Clyde was a part of Fly Slammer Slide. I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
And then he went, but I don't think that was 95.
No.
That's when he was traded
when
in 95.
When he was a young
Glide.
Yes, he was.
When he was a Glidesdale.
Of course.
Yeah.
He was part of Fly Slammer Jammer, of course. And returned.
Did they win the chip, Fly Slammer Jammer? Or did they lose to like Georgetown or something? Or NC State? Yeah, did they lose? They lost to NC State.
Jim Valvano?
Yeah.
That's correct. That's exactly what happened. Good job, everybody.
Next they might have lost to Virginia the next year.
I think he was gone.
He was gone by then?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Went to Portland. Was in Portland forever until he went to the Rockets in 95.
He won a championship in the Rockets. And in a non-Michael Jordan year.
That's right. That's right. He stayed with the Rockets for 4 years total. And then that was it.
That was it. And he was off into the wind.
He actually averaged 18 points a game his last year in the NBA.
Wow.
Yeah.
Clyde was getting
played,
it done.
Played 70 games.
He was an amazing scorer, Clyde Drexler.
Are they a Hall of Famer?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. But then the NBA don't have no Hall of Fame.
The basketball Hall of Famer.
Yeah, obviously you would take his work.
In college.
With the college, the Olympics, and stuff like that.
Certainly.
So definitely a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. Okay. It's Valentine's Day, so a bunch of love stuff today, of course, on this day in history. We also had a lot of birthdays today on Valentine's Day. A lot of Valentine's Day birthdays, including... Happy birthday to Jim Kelly.
Great. The K-Gun offense. Still upset that they never won one. They had that one chance, in my opinion.
Well, they had four chances.
But the Giants are really the only team they should have beat. It's the truth. If you look at the other three games, the other three matchups, they really didn't match up well. But hell of a player, hell of an offense, a lot of fun.
Glad to see he's feeling better
now,
too.
Yeah, he's battled with cancer.
Absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely. Happy birthday 12 years later on the same day, Valentine's Day, to Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, Drew Bledsoe. He paved the way for Tom Brady and Tony Romo.
Forgotten man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he made some comment I saw recently, like, he'll never forget his time in Buffalo, and it was... He was like really like waxing poetic.
I feel like Corey forgot his time in Buffalo.
Yeah, I did. I really did forget he played for the Bills.
So there you go. How about that? Happy birthday 1 year later to a Corey Parsons favorite. I believe, maybe not this year, but there's certainly been a profile in Black history on this player.
Oh, will come shortly. If we're talking about the same dude I'm talking about.
Well, you've talked about him a lot. He's one of your favorites.
So it's not... we had Draymond Green. So
you believe... He's born in 1973.
73, that would make him...
Yeah, I was born.
You believe he's...
That means when he was...
You believe he is an NFL Hall of Famer. He's not.
Steve McNair.
Yeah.
Steve McNair posthumously.
Posthumously.
He should be inducted. Today is his birthday, huh?
Yeah.
I now have so much fun saying posthumously. I'm sorry. I'm not going to make a light of it.
But, yeah, you know, the tragedy that took his life on the 4th of July, Kennedy was born? No, Kennedy wasn't born then. So that probably was like almost a decade now. So his children probably grew. They had a story in ESPN on his children recently.
Did they?
Yeah, So his children are growing up.
How they doing? Doing all right?
I believe one of them plays football.
Oh, nine.
But he doesn't want to play quarterback. And I think the other one is getting into something else that's not football related. So I think he got some people around the family that works with them and stuff, like, you know, hang out with them and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think Steve McNair, I understand the numbers may not be as gaudy, but Steve McNair should be in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Sure, sure. He was, of course, married to his wife, Michelle. Had two sons with Michelle, Tyler and Trenton, and two sons by two other women as well. Steve, he named both of them Steve. That's weird.
He's like George Foreman, I guess.
Steve McNair, country boy. So, you know, they names like we like Steve. Steve, too. Steve, also.
Well, that's kind of interesting. And then, of course, unfortunately, he was shot dead by his mistress. Very sad.
Yes, that is.
Why'd you have to add that? You could just have said, you know, whatever. You'd have to add that. You know what I'm
saying? That is the story. I'm not adding what?
Stay woke. That's what they want. That's what they want you to believe. That's what the man wants you to believe, Greg. Stay woke.
You don't believe that?
That's a word I pretty much never use.
Woke?
You don't believe that story?
That story is likely true. I'm just saying, this is do every.
There's no reason to.
You didn't have to bring that up, Greg.
It was part of the story, though.
How would you?
It's a very sad story. You had two people. You know what I'm saying? Just him. You know, the young lady too.
She killed herself. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you know, obviously they were. You know. Yeah, let's move on.
Happy birthday goes out 1978. 5 years later. Rip Hamilton was born. Happy birthday to Rip.
Rip. Shout out to Rip. Rip wasn't on Players Only last night. They had somebody else on Players Only. I like seeing Rip in the media. Rip went to UConn, played on some great teams up there. I was a big Rip Hamilton fan. When they had NCAA basketball and I used to play video games when I was a kid, I used to play with UConn, and I was just tearing them up with Rip. I was a big Rip Hamilton guy.
Yeah, Rip. UConn is there. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Awesome. In 2009, one of the more unlikely marriages we've saw, Adriana Lima and Marco Yarick.
Who's Marco Yarick?
He was a basketball player for the Clippers and the Timberwolves. That was like a European dude. And you're like, how did this guy get Adriana Lima?
Got a lot of money.
They divorced.
Well, it didn't work out?
No. She was dating Julian Edelman for a while. And then I think she was dating Matt Harvey and then went back to Julian Edelman. And that was the thing.
Shout out to Julian Edelman.
I think Adriana Lima was the right one. The right model there.
Yeah, didn't she break Matt Harvey's heart?
I think so. I think it was Adriana Lima, right? That was the right model?
I believe it's so.
Tell Matt Harvey got plenty of money. Tell him he'd be all right. Tell him to get over it. Go get him another job.
Yeah, well, he had like a Victoria's Secret.
Well, the thing is, he found another rib. Why can't he find another woman?
Exactly. You feel him? Your rib should be more closely guarded than, you know, your heart. I guess it's tough.
In 1989,
his rib didn't leave him for Julian Edelman.
We told you a month ago that they got married. Yeah, 1989, a little time later, Mike Tyson and Robin Givens got divorced.
Ooh.
Yeah. If you ever hear the term whipped, that man was whipped at that time.
See, Mike Tyson type of cat that shouldn't get married. Especially when he was like in his hay. You know what I mean?
She was not good for him.
No,
No.
They worked him over.
Yeah.
Her and the mother worked him over.
They really did a job. I'll never forget that, but it's a Barbara Walters interview.
Yeah.
I was like, Mike!
They was like, they had him drugged.
Yeah. I was like, run!
Yeah.
Run! Don't look back.
Tonight, NBA slate, 12 games on the schedule for many. It is the last game before the All-Star break. Just 2 games tomorrow night.
Thank goodness.
So this is, for many teams, the last game before the All-Star break. 12 games on the schedule. We'll run through them. I'll get to Corey Parsons' Lock of the Night, presented to you by DailyRoto.com. All the golf stuff is free at DailyRoto this week. Use code FNTSY, get 10% off everything. FNTSY is the code. DailyRoto.com is the site.
Check it out. Corey, will you be getting a preview lineup on the OT? Or will you keep that to yourself?
Oh, boy. When the tournament start? I don't have a lineup done for that yet. Okay. I don't have a lineup done.
Starts tomorrow
yet.
Morning.
But by the time the lineup's locked, I'll let you know my lineup is after the lineup lock. Sorry. I probably won't get to the lineup until later on in the day.
All right. The Sixers are at home against the Heat. They're 7.5-point favorites. The Magic face off against the Charlotte Hornets. They're 5-point favorites. Pistons and Hawks. Pistons are an 8.5-point favorite. Brooklyn is at home to face the Pacers. They are dogs by 4.5. Knicks at home against the Wizards. Washington comes into the Garden as a 4.5-point favorite. Boston hosts the Clippers. 5-point favorites from Boston. Pelicans at home against the Lakers. 5-point favorites there. The Grizz and the Thunder. OKC travel to Memphis as 4-point favorites. While Houston welcomes in Sacramento as 14-point favorites. The Bulls and the Raptors, Toronto's a 6.5-point favorite, while the Jazz are 11-point favorites over the Phoenix Suns, who lost by 50. The Blazers and the Warriors, your nightcap, 5.5-point favorites are the Golden State Warriors in Portland.
Did you say the Lakers and Pelicans?
I said the Lakers and Pelicans, and the Pelicans are a 5-point favorite at home.
Give me the Lakers.
Give me the Lakers as the lock of the night. Presented by DailyRoto.com. Lakers cover 5 points with IT. No Lonzo, but the rest of the Lakers.
Yep. no Lonzo, but the rest of the Lakers will be there. Give me the Lakers in that 5.5 points. I think the Lakers make that one close right there. So the Lakers is locked tonight. We look to get back on track tonight. We let us down last night. Russell Westbrook and the gang. I did not expect Paul George to hoist up 13 threes.
Probably, yeah, I'm sure. It
wasn't in my game plan.
Or, yeah, LeBron.
He thought he was feeling it last night.
Yeah, everybody who criticizes the lock of the day, Billy Hayes, you know what I'm saying? I'm making lock of the day for a game to start like 10 hours from now. You know what I mean? Relax.
A lot changes.
Yes, a lot changes.
A lot changes. Matt, the Bills hire Terry Rubisky.
Why?
Because somebody had to coach the receivers.
I'm trying to remain so damn positive. I'm like, this is like a monumental draft. We have all these draft picks, this new regime. And then you go and do that.
Yeah.
Hey, but it still is no faith.
One other football note, Corey, evidently the Broncos are determined to make Devontae Booker their starter next year.
Well, yeah, a day late and a dollar short. There's no reason for me to hold him on my bench all last year, then. That could have been Alex Collins.
Could have been Alex Collins. I never liked Alex Collins.
When I was going to cut him, when I was looking to possibly acquire Collins, this is after he had popped a couple weeks already and nobody was still believing, the play I would have had to drop would have been Devontae Booker. I held on to Devontae Booker, one of the mistakes I've made. I'm quite sure Billy Hayes has a long list of other mistakes made by the fantasy executive.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we welcome in the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. We'll talk to him, of course. He was in the league labor draft last night. Corey will talk about that coming up next. I'll talk about that with you guys on the Roto Extras podcast as well. More FST on the way right after this.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Where is the value on this Athletics team? And I believe it starts with Matt Olson. It doesn't end there, but I think it starts there.
The obvious is I like him for the power, but I just don't know about that batting average. Last year in, what, like just over 200 plate appearances, was right around 260-ish. The power is there. He's going to play. This is Oakland. This is one of their young guys that they're counting on. He could hit 40 home runs and also bat, like, you know, 220.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Jake, happy Valentine's Day, buddy.
Happy Valentine's Day, Greg.
Thanks, man. What are you doing to celebrate tonight?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No.
No, not spending it with the family.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, don't worry. Not spending it with the family or hanging out?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
You want to go on and on about how I'm single? You want to drag that out a little bit longer?
No. What? No. I asked Corey the same thing. He's single as well. So, just asking.
Yeah, but Corey's got like 17 women in his phone that he's trying to hook up with.
He does. You had a, we noticed, you also had a big single party, didn't you, recently?
It's not a party. No, that's
get
Friday night, that's it. No. It's not get together either. It's for my church. It's a singles connect group that we do every Friday.
Okay, so that's a thing though. It's definitely a get together.
No, I know, but it wasn't like a one off, is what I was saying.
Oh, so you would do a singles party. Now, I assume the goal is for the singles to eventually get together, right?
That's not the goal.
Really?
The goal, I mean, if that happens, it happens. But the whole point was we have what they call community groups. So we don't have any at the church that cross men and women. And I said it's been lacking for a long time because people don't know how to interact with each other. And also, it's also for singles for like guys and girls that are hanging out on Friday and Saturday night all alone by themselves because they don't have friends as well to actually develop friendships and stuff like that. Something severely lacking in the church, and we finally got one started.
There you go. I like that. I like that, Jakey. Well, I'm going to save labor. I know Corey has a lot to talk about that with you. I do, too. I have a whole hour plan to talk about.
So do you want to talk about wrestling or the Olympics?
We're just going to talk about wrestling.
Okay.
How do you feel about your draft, by the way, though, before I get into wrestling?
I like it. I hate the fact of Snake because there's a couple spots where something I wanted went completely wrong. And
sure.
Now I'm severely lacking in speed. But that's what, you know, it happens in a snake draft. That eighth spot really kind of killed me. I knew it was going to be a terrible spot. But for where I was and what I had to do, I think I did pretty dang good. I had fun with it, though.
Listen, I do have a major question I want to ask. I want to ask it before they get to. So, we said before you drafted Stanton in the first round. You came back with Aaron Judge. And I was wondering if you ever, if you considered at that spot just drafting D. Gordon and having the massive power potential of a Giancarlo Stanton and the massive speed potential of a D. Gordon.
You know, if D. Gordon was there in the third round, I was going to. Okay. D. Gordon in the second round, I couldn't make that investment. Okay. That was too much for me.
Okay, fair enough. I was just wondering if you had considered that. That's
all. I actually wasn't expecting Judge to be there.
Okay. Wrestling-wise, we had a Fatal 5-Way for the SmackDown Live, the WWE title.
I know. Stop. This is like, I don't know. Do they not know what they're doing on either show right now? It's like, hey, let's just get all the people of their main pieces into one match for both shows because we don't know. They're single branded pay-per-views. This is the whole point, is being able to expand it a little bit more, and they're throwing all the big names in two matches.
Yeah, they are. The Fatal 5-Way, I think they just realized that this thing with AJ and Kevin and Sammy just weren't working, so they just were like, let's just throw two other guys in there.
Well, because they do what they always do. They dragged it on too long.
Yeah. Yeah. Is Dolph Ziggler a face now? Is that what we saw last night?
I guess so. He's always been kind of hybrid-y anyway, so I guess he's kind of swinging back a little bit. I don't really know. I'm confused.
You don't really care. You know what's interesting? Yeah. He was talking about, like, all he needs to do the rest of his career is main event WrestleMania, which he won't ever do. And I wanted to just be like, dude, just say all you want to do is a singles match at Mania, because he's never had that either. Like, all I want to do is a match one-on-one with somebody, please. And that won't happen.
That would have been successful. You probably could get that done.
Maybe. It's possible. Yeah. It's more possible than main event. That seems crazy. Also, if I'm wrong, no AJ Styles last night, right?
No, not at all.
Hello?
2 hours, no AJ Styles.
Amazing. Alright, we're done. Coming up next, FSTOT, Jake Seely, the all-in kid. I'll be joined by the fantasy executive in Wall Street. I'm Greg, I'll see you for the Roto Experts in a little bit. Enjoy the rest of FST. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.